Good evening, everybody. We have a quorum.
And so I'm going to call the meeting to order. Hopefully we'll have somebody else come along, because right at the moment we are just at the edge of not having a quorum. So with that said, we'll get started. First of all, I'd like to recognize Todd. He has a new staff member he'd like to introduce to the committee. So Todd, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good evening, everyone.
Did Kathy do roll call to establish quorum?
No, she has not done roll call yet. So we'll hold off and we'll go ahead and do.
Good.
Okay.
Sorry.
Thank you.
All right.
No,
sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce Burke.
Here.
Colin Oglesby. Cynthia Harper. Dale Calvert.
Here.
Ian Hernandez.
Here.
Did I say your name?
Leah.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Soltero. Ian Johnson.
Here.
Jesse Lugo.
Here.
John Aitken. Paul Smith.
Here.
Thank you. We do have a quorum.
Thank you. With now that we have a quorum, I'll give it back to you, Todd.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good evening, everyone. Committee members, happy new year. Just briefly, just want to introduce Peter Kane. He's joined the Transportation Department as Program Coordinator overseeing the Pavement Management section. So with future iterations and moving data around, Peter will have an instrumental role. So just wanted to put a name to the fix.
Thank you. Nice to meet you.
Thank you.
Okay. This item two on the agenda is election of a new chair and vice chair. And so I put it out there for nominations, we'll go from there. Is there anybody who you want to nominate to be chair moving forward? And go ahead.
I was going to say, we usually, the person has to be here tonight, right? You can't nominate someone who isn't here.
That's normally the rule, yes.
Okay, and we're not going to vote on it tonight. We vote on it next meeting, right?
No, we normally vote
I thought we did nominations today. And then the next meeting.
Yeah,
we vote.
But okay. I mean, we may have to do that because right at the moment we have minimum of quorum.
Six, yeah. Okay.
But
And then the last thing I was going to say is, our tradition is we don't have to do it. We've always let the vice chair, it's sort of been assumed they ascend into the chair position. Leanne, how do you feel about that tradition we have?
I mean, if it's tradition, I think we should go with it. But, you know, if anybody else is interested, y'all just speak up.
I nominate Leanne as a chair.
Okay.
I'll second the nomination.
Do we? You'll second that? We got 2 seconds.
I'll be good for
you. You're so willing, Bruce. Okay. We have a nomination and a recommendation. And all those in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Do we need to do a roll call?
Sure. No, because we're in person.
Yeah. Very good. You are now the elected chairman. You'll go ahead and take over at the next meeting.
Okay, fantastic.
Okay, and they will contact you to approve the agenda ahead of time. If you have other questions,
I can call you.
You can call me.
Perfect.
And you can call me too.
Okay, thanks a lot, y'all.
Okay. Vice chair. Do we have any nominations for vice chair? Yes, Paul.
I nominate Ian.
You are nominate Ian.
I'd be willing to serve as a backup for Leanne since I just got her into all this trouble.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thanks, Ian.
Sure.
So, okay. Ian, any second that? Okay. All those in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. I think any opposed? Hearing nothing. Ian, you're elected vice chair. So, thank you, both.
Thank you for your service, sir.
Yeah. Thank
chair,
you.
May I have a personal privilege point?
Sure.
I think you deserve a round of applause for your service. How many years now, chair? Two?
I think it's two or three. I don't remember.
All right, so we'll do two or three. Thank you.
Okay. With that all said, we move forward to item three, approval of the minutes from the last meeting.
So moved.
Does anybody have any corrections of the minutes?
Motion to approve.
Okay, we got a motion to approve. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, Leanne seconded. And all in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing no opposed. Any abstentions?
I wasn't here.
Okay, very good. Ian abstains. Motion carries with one abstention. Okay. Call to the audience. Now, I'm going to read this to everybody so I get it right. Not because this is the time when any member of the public may address the Independent Oversight and Accountability Commission. Due to the time constraints, the total time allocated for this is 10 minutes. Individuals are allowed 3 minutes each. Due to the open meeting law, commission members cannot discuss topics that are not on the agenda. Accordingly, items brought up by the public may be considered as an agenda item for a future meeting, but we can't discuss it as part of the meeting tonight. Okay? So, with that said, we have three people who have submitted cards. One was for Chris Lopez. Chris, you want to go ahead? Thank you.
Hi, everybody. My name is Chris Lopez. Happy New Year to everybody. I represent Julie Keene Neighborhood Association. And yay, Southern Arizona Paving has finally got started on those ADA corners. They're looking great. They're doing a good job. Okay. A couple more areas of concern, though, that we probably should have brought up before, but, you know, it's better to bring them up now than later. The west side of the bridge, or Citation Wash at Palo Verde and Monthan, the sidewalk area is too narrow for the pedestrians to walk on. They have to walk into the street, cross the other side, and the bridge in that area needs to be widened to accommodate adding a sidewalk area. It's too narrow. There's a curb on the north side of the Citation Wash between Palo Verde and Chrysler, but not on the south side of the wash. There's no barrier to help keep the cars and bicyclists from sliding into the wash. The corners at the Citation Co-op on Palo Verde on 25th and Palo Verde and 28th Street have not been ADA constructed. So I don't know if that's an oversight or if that's something they're going to do later, but those corners have not been done, but they did all the other corners on Palo Verde. So just want to bring that to your attention. There's a pedestrian bridge on the west side of Aviation Wash at Dodge that is totally not safe to walk on. It is cracked and totally inadequate and needs to be replaced. The culverts are too narrow to accommodate the flow of water. The water accumulates on the street, causing more erosion and backup. There's no bridge on the east side of the wash on Dodge. On Palo Verde and Silver Lake, there is no bridge at either side of the Aviation Wash. The bridge needs to be constructed on the east side so pedestrians would no longer have to wade through the water when it rains. There are several sidewalk areas that are cracked by the city trash trucks entering and exiting alleys that also need to be replaced. Now would be the best time to correct these long-needed public safety hazards since construction on the streets has started. Please help our neighborhood complete the entire necessary street-related improvements to enhance the pedestrian safety. Thank you for all you do.
Chris, can we have a copy of that again?
Sure.
Thank you.
Okay.
How are you?
Thank you, Chris. And I'm having a hard time reading the printing here on the first name, so I'm going to say D. Daniels.
Yeah. Derek Daniels, thank you. Sorry. Writing in pins.
Okay.
Right here.
a board member of the Vista del Rio neighborhood, which is northeast corner of Sabino and San Verde. This is Dos Hombres, more specifically Dos Hombres and San Verde, headed north, essentially. The streets are in disarray. They have been for quite some time. They've now been repaved in 40 plus years. I've been to the commission before, so I appreciate the time and the ability to come here and listen, learn more, and advocate for our neighborhood. All the utilities are under the street itself, so I'm sure that that could complicate a repave, but I'm also sure that's probably why the road's so bad. Everything's been torn up, whether it be cable, gas, electricity, everything is, all utilities are under the ground, so that's only exacerbated the situation. But yeah, looking forward to learning more and knowing when the timeline looks like to get done.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
And Andrew Christopher.
Hello, I'm Andrew. I'm speaking tonight in relation to the item 7 on the agenda, which is the addition of Tucson Boulevard, 6th Street to 22nd Street, to fiscal year 24 through 27 collector program. I just wanted to make those of you aware who aren't, but I know a lot of you are plugged into this. We met with DTM on January 18th regarding the new design and the new schedule for the replacement of the 22nd Street Bridge. That is tentatively slated for winter of 2024-25, so roughly a year from now. During that time, all detours through that area from 22nd Street westbound will go up either Country Club or Tucson Boulevard. As I'm sure many of you are aware, Tucson Boulevard is not equipped to handle that kind of traffic, both in terms of pavement condition, stacking space for the left turn lanes onto Broadway, pedestrian safety, and array of other things. So just wanted to encourage that addition of that project to the collector program, and also encourage the expedition of that, since we don't have a lot of time until that bridge is down. I also did see that our neighborhood, which is Arroyo Chico, was added to the phase one resurfacing program. I don't know the dates on that so far, but we're potentially looking at a situation where we have, you know, massive detours for several years and the full repaving of our neighborhood, which is between Country Club and Campbell. So just a lot of moving parts there. Want to make you aware of if we can expedite and avoid some major headaches as much as possible with a project of that scale. That'd be great. So thanks for all that you do.
Thank you. Okay. Are you ready for Prop 101 updates?
I am. Get to the. Let's see. Yeah, that's the one I want to start out with. Okay. That helped me. Thank you very much. Okay. Mr. Chair, members of the IOAC, going to give you an update on where we stand with Prop 101. In terms of the residential streets, we are now finished with the residential streets that have been, or at least the paving components of the residential streets that were approved by this body. Packages 1 and 3 through 6 are complete and have been for some time. Package 2, which is the west side, that's been paved. West side Elvira and the first section of Julia Keene neighborhood, those were paved, but the curb access ramps were not done. We are now doing work with Prop 411, I'm doing a contract with the same contractor that's doing the Barrio Nepal and Elvira neighborhoods to finish out to do the Elvira ramps. So, and Julia Keene neighborhood does not have ramps within it. So the West Side neighborhood is the only remaining component of that we have to deal with. Although, or that I still have to come up with a plan for how we're going to address the curb access ramps. Package 7, Coronado Heights and Miracle Mile Manor, Mesa Verde neighborhoods, substantially complete. I think there may be some cleanup that they're still doing in the neighborhood, but they are substantially complete with that work. Package 8, they have finished the paving in Package 8, and at this point in time, it's largely finalizing the adjustments and putting the survey monuments back in and such. So that is where we stand with the residential streets. In terms of the arterial streets, 101 package 4, we are looking at everything really was done several years ago with the exception of 6th Avenue, which was a substitution for Los Reales, which had been originally approved. The 6th Avenue project, Borderland is going to be doing that under a job order contract. We also are looking at water work in there. Tucson Water has opted to contract separately for a contractor to do, and they'll manage the water, and then we'll follow up with the paving. This is in this actually is surrounded by neighborhoods in Barrio Nepal, so there's going to be some coordination that we're going to be doing with that. But that's is about to get underway. The arterial package number 5, which is 5th Street, the CMAR was executed by Hunter. Tucson Water will be managing that project. And the project will start with water work this late spring, early summer of this year. They're in the process of getting their materials ordered and preparing to mobilize. The package 6 preservation was completed in November 22. And I'm going to cleanse that out. Package 8, that is now substantially complete. That included the recent work that SAP did on Camino Seco and Pantano, Sabino Canyon, Melpomene, 22nd Broadway, Bear Canyon, and Pantano. Moving on to package 9 and 11, that's preservation. That work was, the crack filling was done in the fall. They began doing the fog sealing, and during the month of December, it was decided to hold off on continuing that project because of conflicts basically it had to deal with holiday shopping and the temperatures being such that the product, when it was put down, took a long time to cure before they could open it up back for traffic. And DTM decided that it would be best to put that project on hold until the temperature's warm and they can do the remaining work at night. So that's the plan at this point. I know it looks incomplete. You can drive down Craycroft and see 4 of 6 lanes treated, the other 2 lanes not. That will be addressed in the spring. Package 10. Which is the downtown streets. Cushing's been completed. We're looking at beginning the remaining projects this coming summer. Likely there will be an extension into 2025 with these streets because in a number of cases we've got water lines that have been identified. First projects that we'll be looking at would be likely the repaving of Stone and adding in the protected bike lane. So that's going to be part of that Stone project. So they'll extend beyond basically Alameda, where they currently end, on up to Ochoa, which is on the other side of Broadway from where they currently are. So that'll be next, and we are working with Tucson Water to get water modifications underway on those. That will be the real-time. That will be what dictates the timeline on that.
I was just curious,
Mr. Johnson.
Sorry to interrupt. I was curious about the Church Avenue between Cushing and wherever it's going to end. I assume the new project at St. Mary's. Mm-hmm. Do you have any sense of the timing on that one?
I know that requires water modifications.
Okay.
So almost everything else requires water modifications. I think we might be able to do some work on Pennington, but without water modifications, but everything else requires water mods.
So that would be sometime over 2024, extending into 2025, probably.
Yeah. Probably, yeah.
Cool, thank you.
Yeah, you bet. Okay, continuing on, Package 12, which is Silver Bell Road, Congress to St. Mary's. That's underway with Borderland Construction. They received their notice to proceed on January 2nd. They're expecting to be finished with that late summer, early fall. I'm hearing, you know, August, September-ish is what they currently believe they'll be finishing that on. They're starting initially with waterline work. That also had water mods in it. Water actually is about half the work in this particular case. And we're finding that to be the case on a lot of our projects is as we're moving forward, you know, while our roadways are old, our water lines are just as old. And in many cases, they need attention before we can move forward. So that's something that we are working with Tucson Water on. We have the war chest, they do not. So that's something that is a challenge that we're working through with them. And with that, that's the presentation, but I do want to point to the financials on this. So this is where
before
we stand.
You go to those.
Yeah.
I had one question. Under Package 8.
Okay.
I understand all of it until I get down to basically the last sentence. It's or last clause. Golf links / Camino Seco added.
And okay, there is an intersection project, and I believe I may not. I believe I used a former slide and probably should have updated that and struck that out.
Okay.
I think they're pretty well far along on that.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
The base contract is complete.
But they're redoing the Golf Links Camino Seco intersection?
That was my understanding.
Okay.
Where we stand right now in terms of the budget or the revenues and expenditures. To date, we've collected a total of $132,408,350, expended $85,419,969. At this point, while I don't have the projections back from business services yet, you know, we've gone over it with them, and we believe that there is a surplus of funds, and you will have that conversation with you about what we do with those funds once we've completed the other arterial projects. We are in a very we're in a high inflation environment right now, or have been, and we do want to make sure that we have sufficient funds before we go forward with additional project requests on that, because it is rather tight.
Yeah, so we're assuming the majority of the balance there will be in the contract soon.
The majority of the balance will be under contract, I would say between now and early 2025.
Okay.
So with that, concludes my comments
okay.
on that.
Very good. Thank you. Item number 6 on the agenda is Prop 411 updates.
Okay.
And I assume you're ready.
I am ready, and I have provided you some additional information that you can refer to as well. Prop 411, in terms of projects, we have now about 1 million square yards of pavement that's been treated. Citywide, it's 26 million, so it's not a big amount finished yet, but we've got a tremendous amount of work underway currently. We've got another 2 million square yards of asphaltic surface currently under contract, and I'll go over those with you. These are the projects that we've completed. The most recent ones that we've looked at or have done have been the Sam Hughes resurfacing, Miramonte resurfacing, Peter Howell neighborhood resurfacing, Dietz neighborhood resurfacing, and Lakeside Park resurfacing. We did in December do the reconstruction of Bonanza Avenue. Silvercroft, since the last time we met, Silvercroft was completed, and that project is now closed out. We are now beginning, well, actually I'll talk about the work that's beginning in a moment, but these are the projects that are now complete. We did do a little piece of Las Vistas as well. This is a map showing the areas where, oh, I'm sorry, yes?
I just have one quick question.
Yeah.
I noticed that the 9th Street Bike Boulevard.
Yes.
That first coat, and it wasn't awesome, and you guys did a second coat.
Yeah.
It's a lot better.
Good.
And I'm just curious, did the contractor have to pay for that, or how did that work?
Well, we pay by the product that's applied.
Okay.
So we did pay for that, and you know, what we didn't do with that particular road was we didn't put down a base layer on that. We went straight to chip seal. Whereas in the neighborhood, we would put down a base layer, then the chip, then a final covering layer. That really, we're looking at about the same total thickness of asphalt on the project between what we did on 9th and what we did on the in the neighborhoods.
So future treatments on those boulevards will probably be two coats right away, or will they change because of the experience?
We're gonna
actually, in fact, we
did change. So when we were looking at doing the work in Sam Hughes and Miramonte, some things that we didn't do a lot of milling. On 9th and Blackledge and in the neighborhoods on that first project, we milled about 3/4 of an inch of the asphalt off and then went and started applying the pavement surface treatments on top of that. We opted not to do that because we found it was actually more destructive than beneficial to do that. We may still revert to some light milling, maybe 1/4 inch in the future, just to knock off high spots. In the future, but we felt and worked with our contractor on it and determined that it made more sense for us to put down a base layer to try to fill in the gaps rather than try to knock off and level with a milling machine. So that's what we did in the Sam Hughes, Miramonte, Dietz, Peter Howell neighborhoods and Lakeside Park neighborhood. And we felt that turned out a lot better. We're going to have to go back in and do a little milling, spot milling, particularly around where we've got drainage inlets. So we'll go and address that. I know it's a little rough riding down Miramonte right now. If you were to go across the transverse catch basins. So, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So these are the projects that we've now completed. In terms of projects that are under contract or are imminent, Hermosa Hills and Halcyon Acres under construction presently. Coronado Heights, actually, we're in the final phases of that. That was paved first weeks of January. So we've got that now complete in terms of the paving. They're going in there and doing the adjustments and bringing up water valves and manhole lids. We've got the Rodeo Addition is under construction. We've got two phases of that are going to go on, one of which is a collector street. We've got the Julia Keene neighborhood, as you know, under construction. Barrio Nepal and Elvira. That we issued the notice to proceed on that in January, and they're out there doing curb access ramps now. Santa Rita Park, and in that area, we're going to be, we've got a kickoff meeting next week with Sunland Paving on that project. Sunset Via and Flowing Wells Westwood have already been kicked off with Sunland Asphalt. We'll be doing work with Sunland on Cherry Avenue, Casitas del Cherry Avenue neighborhood, not Cherry Avenue the street, Casitas del Sol, Los Ranchitos, Los Reales Industrial. Those are being done with that. And then we have the Harlan Heights, Mittman, Thunderbird, Wilshire Heights, and Monte Catalina neighborhoods underway with Cactus Asphalt under Surface Treatment Package B.
Can I make a couple comments?
Sure.
One, am I correct in understanding that the contractor for Hermosa Hills and Alkaline Acres mm-hmm. is also then extended to do the Spanish Trail work?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and that is the same contractor.
Yeah, and they've actually started? Or, yeah.
They are underway on Old Spanish Trail.
Okay. The other one is, I wanted to point out something that's been an issue for years, and that is the Los Reales Industrial. The previous bonding and ballot issues had used the term residential streets, and we couldn't do any industrial because the money was restricted to residential streets. And there's obviously a lot of, I want to use the word, neighborhood streets that have industrial and businesses on it that weren't eligible for funds. And this is the first project that I'm aware of that's being done because of that change in definition.
Good.
And I think that's a something that should be noted for everybody. That was something, I mean, we went over that back on the bond issue. And eventually, you know, the attorneys came through with a decision that it was had to be residential, and we were all frustrated. And so I think that's a big step forward, you know, a little big step forward, probably, a better way to put it. So yeah, thank you.
Yeah, and we do have a lot of mixed-use neighborhoods as well that would be on the fence with that.
Yeah.
Okay. This shows you where those neighborhoods are that are currently under construction. And I will move on from there. One thing that I did mention Rodeo. In terms of projects that are in process, actually these are the Doolin Fruitvale project, Doolin Fruitvale Garden District and Sewell project. We just got the notice of award finished. I have yet to get a copy of it yet, the contract, but it's in process. And so we have a pre-construction meeting for that on the 5th of February, and we'll be getting under construction on that very rapidly.
Yeah. What was those last three, Doolin, Garden, and Sewell?
Doolin Fruitvale. It's a portion of the Garden District. It's basically the area between Columbus and Swan, Speedway and Pima. That portion of Garden District is what we're going to be working on. And then the Sewell neighborhood.
So those are all awarded, or to be awarded?
Awarded. Awarded, and it's in the process. And in fact, Tierra del Sol is the other neighborhood that's in this kind of award process. And the low bidder on that was ISX. We've made our recommendations to procurement to move forward with it, and we're in the process of that award. As soon as we get that pop out from procurement, then we'll schedule a pre-construction meeting for that and get going on it. And these are the neighborhoods that we're looking at with that program as well. The larger project on the south end is the Tierra del Sol neighborhood. Tierra del Sol. In terms of other projects, we are getting ready to come up with some surface treatment packages for the spring. We're going to be finishing up the initial project list. We now have most everything underway, and in fact, one of the things that I did provide to you was a 11 by 17 that shows you the all of the projects, their dollar amounts, where we stand on that. This is the revenue that we've collected thus far. Now, these are the actual tax collections, the cash amounts that we receive. This takes us through our most recent report. There's actually some money that has come into our coffers since the December report was given to me in early January. Tends to come in from Department of Revenue, and then they summarize what over the course of the month, and then they summarize it at the end of the month. So what we're looking at coming in right now, or what you see for the December amount, is actually money that it is the sales tax that came from transactions at the cash register during the month of November. Reported, or the businesses report and forward those funds in December, and then we get a report at the beginning of January. So that's the most current or the most recent comprehensive report that I've got. Now, you will see that if you go down to the second from the bottom line, it's the Better Streets portion of it. We're looking at just under $86 million collected to date. You'll see a little different number here in a moment, and I'll explain it. This is from our Business Services Division. You'll see that right now the program revenues that are associated with local streets is a little bigger than that. You know, we just under 86 million. We're showing here 89,371,949. That includes a little bit of money that's come in during the month of December. It's basically what the balance was on January 18th. And so a little bit of money has come in from December sales. It also includes the revenues from investments and from interest, as well as costs associated with the investments and audits. So that's what we've got to work with. And to date, we have about 12.4 million dollars worth of booked expenses, and you can see which projects have contributed to those costs. This is the contracts list that we have. So right now where we stand, just to give you an idea of our overall health of where we are with revenues and liabilities, if you will, our contract amounts are on the right-hand side. The we have a total amount of contract or estimated future expenditures based on those contracts of a little over $55 million. We've accumulated the $89,371,949 that I had mentioned earlier. So we've got capacity over our current contracts of $34.3 million. So we're in good shape. We're going to keep going. As I tell my colleagues right now, we're reloading. We're finishing we're wrapping up the initial project list, ready to get going on phase one.
From your perspective, are there any constraints to getting projects placed more quickly?
No, we're moving pretty fast right now. Biggest thing that I need to do is we're just now finishing up the inventory of our phase one projects, and we're identifying projects that we'd like to move forward with early. That's not to say that it's the first year by any stretch, because we've got a lot we can still do. These are our initial target areas, and I'll show them to you in just a second here. In terms of next steps, we are continuing to look at recycling the asphalt that we're pulling out of our roads. We've got an enormous mountain of millings out there right now, and now we have mountains of recycled product that we're ready to put back on our roads. We already in the fall surface treatments that we did in Miramonte, Sam Hughes, Peter Howell, Dietz neighborhoods, that was all done using recycled product that we had crushed. We have a crushing contract where we're crushing about 100,000 tons of material. And on that one contract alone, just reusing the recycled materials, we saved about $444,000 on that contract. So having the ability to use that aggregate again is really to our benefit. In terms of what we're looking at right now, these are projects that I'm targeting as kind of our initial projects for phase one. I'm looking at ones that we can pick off fairly quickly. On the lower right-hand side, we are going to be doing a lot of work in Rita Ranch. That'll be surface treatments. We'll be going in with mastic and crack sealing, and then coming over with asphalt rubber chip and microsurface over the top of that. And we have to do a lot of curb access ramps in that neighborhood. So that's in your lower right corner right down here. We are looking at trying to put together some projects in the El Rio and Menlo Park area. In part, that's because we know that My colleagues are working on 407 projects, trying to get bike boulevards into that area. You can see the yellow lines going through there are bike boulevards. So we'd like to give them a good pavement base to do those improvements upon. Looking over to the center here, this is an area, you can see it's kind of got a blue tone to it. This is an area that Tucson Water is working on. This is their La Madera waterline project. And one of the things we're doing to work with them is try to reduce the cost of pavement repairs for them. Because they'll go in, they have to run a water line up the middle of the street and then run brand or service lines out to each property. So they're cutting up the street pretty significantly. And in the past, what they've had to do is they've had to do T-top or a fairly robust pavement patch and then come over the top of it and slurry it. Well, what we're doing here is we're going to follow the work that we would have otherwise done. We're going to follow the Tucson Water improvements. So they'll do temporary patches, and then we'll come over and do a complete mill and fill of that neighborhood. Now, Tucson Water does very small projects. Because when they're doing these projects, they got to put in the water line, make the connections, and then they have to connect every single house. So they were getting service from their alleys. They have to mess with everybody's private plumbing. It takes time. So their projects go, they typically do fairly small projects, like five streets. Well, if I'm just doing five streets, I'm going to be paying through the nose for asphalt for on a unit price basis. So what we're looking at with this project, they're going to have three phases in the La Madera area. So what they're going to do is work in this area initially, east of Treat, from east of Treat and south of Blackledge. So what we're going to do is follow them with that, and then I'm going to go north and put this all in one contract. So I've got Winter Haven and the neighborhood north of Winter Haven. It amounts to Tucson Boulevard up to where it dead ends at the trailhead and Allen and a few streets in the Cactus Allen neighborhood. That's what we're going to be doing. That I'm working on right now to try to get that up and running. In the future, when they do their next phase, what I'll do is I'll go to the purple areas to the east and the purple areas to the west. They've got three phases. I'm gonna be looking at timing those so I can follow their work and at the same time do work of our own that we need to do and do it in as cost-effective a way as I can so that we get the good unit pricing for that. That just saves everybody money, Tucson Water and DTM. So that's the approach there. The other area I'm looking at is the area between Craycroft and Swan, basically from the river all the way to Fifth Street. So that's an area I'm looking at. I know we've got bike boulevard improvements in there that we need to prepare for. And I haven't forgot about Rio Verde Vista, so we are looking at that also as being another one of our early projects. So that's kind of what we're looking at on the initial. We're going to be rolling out more information to you as we get further along, but those are the areas that we're looking at working in initially. And with that, that's my 411 update.
Okay.
How far south did you say that Craycroft Swan?
It'll go the whole width to Speedway, and then the west half from Speedway to Fifth.
Any other questions? Okay. With that, I think we move on to the collector street. Item 7.
All right.
And there are requests here for two action items. One is to approve the 24 to 27 collector program, and the other one is to discuss and approve potentially the addition of Tucson Boulevard from 22nd to 6th Street. So keep that in mind where we go through.
Okay.
I'll let him go through and do the report, and then we'll talk about.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. First, I'm going to give you an update on where we stand with things on the initial projects list. On Elvira, Plumber to Palo Verde, the design is at 90%, but we have conflicts with water. Water needs water replace, or they need to replace water lines in that project. So while we might be 90% plans, ordinarily we'd be able to go fairly quickly, but water has not begun doing their waterline design work, and they'll precede us. So that's something that we're working with them on. That project is going to go through a period on hold while we wait for the Tucson water improvements. The same holds for flowing wells, Miracle Mile to Grant, and Glen flowing wells to Oracle, 90% plans, and we have water modifications that need to be done with that as well. We've initiated the design on the Euclid 18th Street Warehouse and Cherry Project, as well as the Silver Lake Cherrybell Fairland Project. And we are approaching 60% plans on Bilby Road, which that's Patrick's project. So that's where we stand with the initial projects. Other projects, Old Spanish Trail, the notice to proceed was issued. Construction's currently underway. They're looking at a mid-April construction completion because they're having to do basically three phases. And so they're on the first phase right now. They will be hauling off. They've been grinding. They're going to be hauling off material. And then next week they're going to begin compacting that material, getting it ready for paving, and then following it with paving. Then they'll move. I don't recall whether it's to the center or to the opposite side. They also will be doing the bike path or the shared use path that's separated. That's something that the Complete Streets Coordinating Council approved funding, and so we're doing those together, and it's getting a good price. We're getting about that one came in at about $36 a square yard. Our budget for our collectors has been $58 a square yard. We had the Star Pass Players Club, Star Pass Boulevard and Players Club Drive. That opened on January 10th. We got a very good price on that. That came in at $34 a square yard. I talked to the contractor, and they're hoping to get that underway and get to do the paving in March, April on that. That is yet to be awarded. We've been having conversations with the apparent low bidder on that. The apparent low bidder is the same bidder that is doing the Doolin Fruitvale Garden District and Sewell neighborhoods, and had done the Harold Bell Wright Estates neighborhood. We are looking at doing work on greasewood. This is a preservative or a preservation treatment. We did work with the Complete Streets Coordinating Council on that. They identified the desirability of doing sidewalk and curb work. They funded it. It's now done. And we will be in the spring treating the pavement surface with the preservative. We have, back in June, we did present you the initial or the preliminary list, which you approved as a preliminary list, with the direction to go visit with the Complete Streets Coordinating Council to coordinate with them and see if there were any amendments or changes that they were recommending. We have done that. The Complete Streets Coordinating Council did approve our list as it stands, with the request that we coordinate with them to bring in additional enhancements, safety enhancements, that we'll be working with them on identifying. And those would be consistent with the Move Tucson Tier 1 through Tier 3 goals. The collectors, when we did it, they were mapped and selected solely by the overall condition index. Within your packets, you have the comprehensive listing of the projects. Everything above the middle horizontal red line are the projects that are on our recommend, or that were on our preliminary list, and that we're recommending to have finally approved. There were projects that were discussed in the second band, if you will, the between the two red lines, there were projects that Patrick led the Complete Streets Coordinating Council on a conversation about whether or not some things should be, you know, whether there were priorities that we wanted to address with that. They ultimately did not make a recommendation to change any of our recommendations or our list. But there clearly was an expression that, you know, if there were an opportunity to accelerate any of those, they would like to see that happen. Did I get that correct, or more or less correct, Patrick?
Yeah, I think they identified a couple of corridors that they would like to see prioritized in the event that additional funding come available. I think that was Tucson, 6th to 22nd, mm-hmm. Closing that final gap on Glen, West of Cherry, and one other.
Was it? Yeah, I don't recall what the other one is, but yeah, we'll have an ongoing conversation with them as we move through the program. So, you know, as I mentioned, the Complete Streets Coordinating Council did a review. They talked about it on at least three different meetings, and as I mentioned, they've requested continued collaboration on layering with the Move Tucson safety improvements. These are the projects that are on the preliminary list and recommended for final approval. 29th Street from Craycroft to Wilmot, 29th Street from Kolb to Avenida Guillermo, 36th Street from Mockingbird Lane to Mission Road, Calle Santa Cruz from Irvington to Valencia, Columbus Boulevard from Fort Lowell to Speedway and Speedway to Broadway, Drexel Road between Mission Road and Midvale Park Road, Elm Street between Campbell and Tucson Boulevard, Fairview Avenue from Wetmore Road to Roger Road, and again from Roger Road to Grant. Those are two separate sections, but they are they're contiguous. Glen Street from Cherry Avenue to Country Club, and again from Country Club to Alvernon Way. Greasewood Road from Speedway Boulevard to Anklam Road. Greasewood Road from Star Pass Boulevard to basically a little more than a quarter of a mile south of San Juan Trail. Kenyon Drive from Pantano Road to Camino Seco. Park Avenue from Fort Lowell to Adams Street. Prudence Road from 22nd to 29th Street. Roger Road from Fairview to Oracle Road. Roger Road from Pomona to Flowing Wells Road. San Juan Trail from Greasewood to Mission. Sarnoff Drive from Broadway Boulevard to Pantano Road. Silver Lake Road from the South Tucson limits to Park Avenue, and from Park Avenue to St. Benedict Drive. Stella Road from Wilmot to Camino Seco, and Tucson Boulevard from Grant Road to Mabel Street, and then again from Mabel Street to 6th Street. And those are listed in the sequence in which they're on the listing there before you. This is the map that shows where those are all located. They're pretty broadly around the community. As I mentioned, the projects that we already have underway are Old Spanish Trail here. The red colored roadways are the roadways that are in the year 2 to 5 plan. The dashed red are what we had in the initial project list. And the green are slated for preservation. The blue are projects that are not, that it's not that they aren't meriting work, because there are many that are in poor condition that we'd like to see done, but they were above the funding threshold that we had originally identified based upon an average of $58 a square yard for treatment. Now, what we've been finding is that we do that on projects that we're doing, or we're piggybacking on adjacent projects, you know, whether it's a Prop 101 project or a 411 project, if we can get the contractor to do the adjacent road and we can get in and out quickly, we can bring that price down, and that's what we're seeing in those $34 to $36 range per square yard pricing that we've gotten on Old Spanish Trail, and then we got it also on the Star Pass and Players Club Drive. What we do have also is a recommendation that we'd like to make, and that is that we look at resurfacing 22nd Street resurface the 22nd Street detour, which is Tucson Boulevard from 6th to 22nd Street. It's in poor condition. It did fall above the line or below the line where the cutoff line for where we were able to fund based upon the $58 a square yard budget. But we have the contractor in a Julia Keene neighborhood who can transition over there to do Tucson Boulevard. It's fairly close. And they've offered us a proposal to do that for $38 a square yard. So it's a cost-effective way to approach it. We can get in and out. They would be doing the work this summer. So that would be what we'd like to present. Sir?
So at the last meeting, we talked about this a bit, and one of the questions I had was how far the detour needs to go, and it sounded like your department was going to do some traffic estimates on that. Did you take a look at how...
Well, I have not done any traffic estimates on the detour length. I did originally talk to the committee about doing a piece from Broadway to 22nd Street. We extended that down to 6th. What that does is when you consider the other two projects that are in, we will completely repave 22nd Street from, oh, I'm sorry, Tucson Boulevard from Grant to Mabel, Mabel to 6th, and 6th to 22nd. Those are three phases. So we're doing three phases in a row. We may not do them with the same contractor at the same time because we do want to talk to the Complete Streets Coordinating Council about, you know, adding in some improvements along through there. But the urgency really is to try to get the detour ready.
And you may have said it, but I didn't hear. When would this start?
If this summer.
Approve it? This summer.
This summer.
And be completed by?
This summer. It'll go fast.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
So do we need a motion on that then?
Well, I have my motions. You know, my recommended actions are that the IOAC give final approval to the fiscal year 24 to 27 Collector Street program as we've presented it. And then we would need a second action that would be to that if you wish to approve the Tucson Boulevard 6th to 22nd Street, and that's our recommendation that be added to the Collector Street program. I believe, given the savings that we've seen on these recent projects, that we can afford to do that with the savings we've seen on Old Spanish Trail and on Star Pass and Players Club.
Yeah. Just to follow up on the Tucson Boulevard, I think the question was if it should be Broadway or 6th, and I think just making Tucson Boulevard completely reserved. Yeah, that makes sense to me.
Leon, did you have a question?
Oh, no, I just wanted to move on the Tucson Boulevard.
Okay, so let's move on then, if you're finished with your presentation.
That is my presentation, Mr. Chair.
Okay, let's move on to considering those. Did you have something to say, Todd?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. Just on the slide on Sarnoff Drive, it says Broadway Boulevard to Pantano Road, and I don't think it might matter for the motion is to Pantano Parkway.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
So, yes. Making that clarification.
I think
the map is in the non-PowerPoint list are accurate. I think it's just a typo.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Jesse.
Chairman, we make a motion. Is that to approve both or be separate?
Let's make them separate motions.
Yeah.
So be consistent. So
I move that the Tucson Boulevard from 6th Street to 22nd Street be added to the fiscal year 24-27 Collector Street program.
Okay.
Second then.
Okay. Do we have discussion?
Ian.
Yeah. Do we have any discussion? All those in favor signal by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? That passes unanimously. So I was gonna say we probably should have done it the other order because we just added something that we didn't have yet. But that's fine. It's all going to happen at the same time. Do we have a motion on the first item for the Collector Street 24-27 plan?
So moved.
Okay, we got a motion from Leanne. Do we have a second?
Second.
We got a second. And any discussion? All those in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing no opposition. Any abstentions? None. Hearing none. Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you.
And so that's done. I did want to point out, and I didn't bother to do this before. I don't think it was kind of academic, but I did go through and checked and make sure everything was included. Being an accountant, you know, you get those kind of things that you do. But also, Tucson Boulevard wasn't in the second tier. It's one of those second tier projects that, so it was just for everybody's information. With that said, we finished with item 7, Collector Streets. Moving on to item 8, utility coordination. There.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the IOAC. I know this is something Mr. Johnson, you had requested the conversation about, and this may be a little bit of a meandering conversation, and I think we kind of described how we were treating some things as it related to the La Madera neighborhood and the approach to treating the adjoining neighborhoods. But in terms of what we're looking at, utilities in our neighborhood streets, you know, we've got a lot of public and quasi-public neighborhood or utilities in the neighborhoods, including not just Tucson Water and Pima County Wastewater, but we have street lighting that we have to deal with. Which actually we oftentimes find ourselves dealing with on curb access ramps primarily because a lot of times the junction boxes are sitting right there. So, you know, we have to be coordinating with our colleagues in our electric shops. But we also have other water providers. Flowing Wells Irrigation District for one. In fact, that we're dealing with that on the Flowing Wells neighborhoods. Halcyon Acres Water Users Association. You know that they have water lines that they have their own neighborhood water company. Interesting, I learned that they were made out of the recycled steam tubes from World War II battleships. So we've got some eclectic stuff out there in the community. The Winter Haven Water Development Company, you know, we're working with them. As we're talking about doing the work in the Winter Haven area. So these are utilities that we're dealing with, the public or the quasi-public ones. We also have private utilities, Southwest Gas and Tucson Electric we all think of, but it is amazing the proliferation of telecommunications companies that we're dealing with now, and they will create a tremendous number of pavement cuts in our streets as they're working their way across a neighborhood as they provide service to individual properties that they're connecting to, we think of them. We think of the old CenturyLink, I'm not even sure I know which company name they go by right now, but the landline telephone, as well as the cable TV operators, and there are a lot of additional owners of fiber optic that are out there. The public utilities We typically are able to get mapping from them pretty quickly. This is the Barrio Kruger Lane neighborhood that you see there. We're able to identify where all their manholes are from their record maps, and we have to adjust those, lower them before we come through with the paving crews, and then adjust them back up to grade when we're through. They, in addition to identifying where their facilities are, they also will let us know what kind of risk that they have to failure or damage. We hear about a lot of sins from the past. You paved over our water lid. Those kinds of things. We're dealing with that as we go through the new projects. So we're in the process of trying to find things that have been buried perhaps decades ago as we go through this. We also know that there have been different standards for installation over the years. Certainly, the most vulnerable systems are the water systems. We've found water lines that are less than 2 feet with cover, and if we go over them with a machine that's milling the pavement and then going through and compacting the base, it's real easy to fracture those water lines. And the water lines, in fact, one of the a lot of the water lines that we're dealing with are asbestos cement pipe. They call it transite, and those will shear on a plane if you put too much stress on them. They also have rubber gaskets, and that's actually what seems to be the biggest problem: is the rubber gaskets for these rigid pipes. Where they connected the ball and socket. A lot of times those rubber gaskets have shrunk, and they may be fine now, but you can do the least bit of vibration over the top of them, and they'll cut loose, and you'll have a water line leak. So that's something that I know we're watching particularly in the in the Julia Keene neighborhood, because we've been put on notice that there are water lines in there that are shallow and that they have concern about. And initially, Tucson Water was saying, we get word from them after we've already bid the project and we've got the contractor on site, oh, you can't do these because they're too shallow. That's a little late, but we did work with them and said, look, okay, if there's a water line break as a result, we're going to use static rolling, so we're not going to be using vibration with our compactors, and that's fine. That's what you want to do if you're dealing with a thin overlay. But we've also agreed with them to have our crews ready to do any pavement repairs if they have to do any emergency repairs. So, and these emergency repairs don't necessarily pop up the day of the paving. It could be a week later. So these are the kinds of things that we're going to be watching, and it's just, we're dealing with old roads and old pipes. So just wanted to alert you to this as a situation we're dealing with. Private utilities, with public utilities we have pretty good access to maps. We don't have that so well for the private utilities, and they don't share their long range plans with us because, frankly, they're in competition with other providers in the area, and they don't want to show their hand on where they're going to be going with their work. So it's a little bit of a challenge for us in terms of dealing with the private utilities. So that's something that we put them on notice of what we're doing. We give them advance. We've communicated to them this map. In fact, as soon as you approved it in June, it was in the utility coordinating committee's hands. So they were all put on notice. And as we go forward with further clarification and of what we're doing, we're going to be putting that information out to those utilities in more refined forms, so they can continue to assess and determine if we're going to have any conflicts or if they have any needs that they want to get in ahead of us. So, and that's part of it. If you're coming in and your plan is to put in a new fiber optic that'll serve a neighborhood, you want to have we want them to do their trenching and their work in advance of our paving work. so that, you know, when we do it, we end up with a nice good mat that that nobody cuts through. And there is a pavement cut moratorium that we put into place. Now, that pavement cut moratorium does not preclude them from doing emergency work, and in fact, if they were to come in and for business reasons decide to do something even in a moratorium area, we say fine, but you're going to be paving the full street for X number of hundred feet if you're going to be making a cut, so that they end up with a good finished surface when they're done as well. So that's those are that's how we will treat them after we've finished our paving work. Issues, you know, the aging infrastructure, as I mentioned, you know, Tucson Water doesn't have a big budget for replacing their facilities. In fact, one of the things I was rather shocked by, they said, they told me, yeah, Tucson Water or the old cement asbestos pipes have a 100-year life. It's okay, and they're actually projecting when they think they'll what the remaining useful life is. Well, they're telling me also that, you know, plastics, which we started using in the early 80s, we transitioned from the asbestos cement pipe for, you know, environmental reasons as well as economic ones, but the plastic pipe is only rated for 50 years. So some of the plastic pipe that we think of as being new is actually nearing its the end of its useful life as well. So we're going to be continuing to work with Tucson Water on this, and have to recognize that they have a lot of vulnerable utilities out there, and that's going to craft some of our decision making as we go forward. Other thing that Tucson Water is doing is they are systematically moving their utilities out of alleys. A lot of utility companies are doing that because alleys are difficult to work within. They're narrow confines, and oftentimes, you know, unless they are used by our environmental services for trash collection, they oftentimes are overgrown and difficult to get into. These utilities are trying to move, when they have the opportunity, to move from the alley to the street. That is, you know, what has been informing the Tucson Water plan that we were showing you on the phase one program. It shows their planned neighborhood main replacements where they're moving from alley to street. It's difficult for them to maintain or to find water leaks in alleys and to repair them when they do fail. So that's something they're doing. Unfortunately, you know, that shifts the cost to us, because if their water mains are in the street, then when we do come in and have to repave, we've got a expense associated with lowering each valve. And each valve right now, water valve costs up to $1,000 to lower the valve box, do the mill and overlay, and then have to excavate, bring it back up, set the new rim in a casting, in a concrete collar. So that's what we're, that's how we deal with those, and it's costly. We spend, when we look at our roadway costs, about half asphalt and about half everything else, whether it's mobilization, utility relocation, curb access ramps. The actual work on the pavement itself is only about half of what we expend on these projects. You know, we are making adjustments in our approach to project delivery. You know, we've been looking to time our pavement behind Tucson Water's waterline work, and we appreciate your support on that. I know that was part of the motion when you approved the Phase One program. We're grateful for that. Tucson Water is in the process of accelerating their valve program. They basically have to exercise their valves periodically They've not done it systematically. They hired about 6 months ago a contractor to do that. They're on a two-year program to exercise every valve, and then they will find that valves don't work when they exercise them. So then they have to dig them up and replace them. So that is something that they're working on, and then finding those valves that may have been paved over, may have just been lost in time. They're looking to try to relocate those. We are participating in regular coordination meetings. I'm on the phone with Tucson Water folks at least twice a week. We have a regular weekly meeting, and then there's usually ad hoc meetings to talk about the latest project that we're trying to move forward and how we can resolve the challenges that we have between the Tucson Water infrastructure needs and our needs. We are looking at, when we decide what kind of a pavement treatment we're going to do, whether it's mill and fill or surface treatment, if they have vulnerable lines, I may have to opt for a lesser treatment than I might otherwise do, both because Tucson Water will likely be coming back to replace and cut through that again, so I don't want to lose the investment in a brand new pavement, but also to prevent the disturbance of that by our activities on the surface of the road. And as I mentioned, Tucson Water is working to try to get the failed valves addressed. One of the things that when we do lower a water valve, there's a box, they call it a water box actually. It is a pipe that goes all the way down and sets over the top of the water valve, the valve apparatus. Basically, there's a nut that they have to turn physically that's down about 36 inches. Well, they have a box that sits over that, and a lot of times these boxes, if they were made out of metal pipe, a lot of those have been failed over time, and so we're having to replace them. And they're now Tucson Water is now supplying us those water boxes when we need to replace something that we find has failed. That hasn't always been the case, so we are trying to work collaboratively with them. We are, as I mentioned in the case of Julia Keene neighborhood, we are telling our contractors to be prepared to deal with pavement repairs if we need to address a waterline failure that happens, while the contractor is mobilized on the site. So they would be the pavement repair team. We're not looking for Tucson Water to come back in and repair the pavement over the leak. They would be repairing the pipe. We would be repairing the pavement. Again, we're looking at trying to coordinate our timing between our resurfacing and their main replacements. I can tell you that Tucson Water is stepping up. I know, Mr. Johnson, you were particularly interested in the Barrio Viejo. We talked a couple of months ago about that. They're in the process of putting out a $3 million waterline replacement program in the Barrio Viejo neighborhood. To give you an idea, that $3 million, I'm probably looking at about $1.5 million for the paving. And that's, resurfacing it with or going in there with mill and fill. So the waterline facilities can actually be a lot more expensive to replace than our paving. So we do have to be cognizant of that. So with that, I think that was my last. Yeah, that was my last slide. And happy to answer any questions I can.
Right. So I mean, it sounds like there are two kinds of projects you have to worry about, right? There's like the ones where you don't want to pave if they're just going to cut it up, because that would be a waste of money, right?
Right.
Waste of investment. But then there sounds like there's a second category of like streets where they just don't want you to go because it's too shallow, too vulnerable, right? Do we have a sense of like how many neighborhoods, like how many square miles of streets in town are the no-go neighborhoods where you just can't pave because the stuff's too old and too risky? And if so, they can probably say that will cost us X dollars. Do they have that money?
They don't have that money, and what I'll tell you is at this point in time, we haven't had We've been able to work around the no-go. So Tucson Water has either stepped up and said, okay, we're going to do in the Barrio Viejo neighborhood, they'll program something. They're looking to find those funds. As is the case of Julia Keene, where they've got shallow water lines, you know, we're gonna risk it, and if we have to, if there is a fracture of a line and it fails and we have a leak, we're gonna be back in there with them, working hand in glove to resolve it. So, but in terms of your question about how frequently are we finding issues? More frequent than not, or more common than not. As I mentioned, our oldest streets are the ones that we're looking at in many cases here with the more significant treatments, and those have old water lines. So, yeah, we're dealing with it regularly. We knew that coming, because that's why we asked for the 3-year instead of giving you a year-by-year approach to phase one. We knew we were going to have to move around, but we're finding we're moving a lot.
So basically, it sounds like if they don't come up with some money over the next decade, it will not be possible for this program to finish touching every street. If some money isn't found to pay for all this plumbing work we have to do,
I would submit to you that we will touch every street. We may not touch it. We may not touch it with as long a lasting treatment as we might otherwise, if the water lines were dealt with.
So, in other words, there are no-go neighborhoods. There might be some that you just touch very gently, and we're going to call it a day. Okay.
Yeah, and then put it on the list for a coordinated repair where it's both the water line and the pavement are done together.
Thank you.
In general, does it seem like the next time we have to do this 20 years from now, they hit the same roads, or depending on the life of it, will it be easier in some of these cases?
Yeah. Well, for one thing, on our more substantive treatments, my expectation is we're not going to allow the pavements to degrade to the level that they've degraded. So we'll be able to do lesser treatments to keep the pavings in good condition. That's the goal, is not to fire and forget, but to keep after it and we can do a lot of minimal treatments inexpensively if we do them frequently. But if we wait until they've totally failed and we have to go in there and do a deep mill and fill, then we've got a challenge.
I'd add a couple things to that. One is, one of the issues that we had early on with the bond issues is roadways, and this is something a lot of people don't know much about, that most roadways that are built today, residential streets, typically have 3 foot, 3 inches of subbase put underneath the asphalt. And most arterial streets have 6 to 8 inches of subbase. And there are things like that that are done in modern roadways that were not done on all the old roadways. In fact, when we are back on the bond projects, we found there was one project the department found that had less than an inch of asphalt on the street. And obviously, repairing that street, and once it's improved, it's going to have a longer life. And as far as utilities, as somebody, and I'm going to say this, my family owned and operated a privately owned public water utility. It is now part of Tucson Water. We sold to the city in 2010. But in operating a water system, the water system started in the late 1940s. And some of the pipe that went in there, kind of similar to what you were talking about,
Battleship,
was actually return pipe from some of the Solomon Islands, where they laid out water lines over the ground to build. My father was It was a CB.
Okay.
And they built these, things. And they brought, you know, they abandoned all of that stuff, and they recovered this pipe, and they brought it back to the United States. And my grandfather bought some of it, and some of his initial water lines were with this cast iron pipe that had been in the South Pacific, that's where the water system started, and we went up through the cast iron stage. We had those pipes, then we had galvanized pipes, and then we had AC pipes. And by the way, if you think about AC pipes, and this is nothing to do with what's really our topic here, but a lot of people go, asbestos cement pipes, they have to be really dangerous. There have been dozens of studies done by the Environmental Protection Agency that as long as the pipe is intact, it does not lose any asbestos. But as a water operator with having a pipeline, and for instance, I'll give you one case of one that after my father passed away, I was running the water company. The water line was in a dirt road east of Houghton Road, and the water line actually, what it did is it developed a small leak, which is our hypothesis is, anyway, it developed a small leak, and it kept getting a little bigger and a little bigger, and it washed out more and more of the ground underneath it until about 18 inches of the bottom of the pipe just fell out. Okay? But it's not a hazardous to run the water through the pipe, but it is hazardous to work on those lines. So we had to meet hazardous standards to go in there, cut out that piece of pipe, put in a new piece of pipe so the water lines would work. So, you know, a lot of people get really concerned about asbestos cement pipes, that they work, but, you know, and we never, the Arizona Corporation Commission, by the way, said asbestos cement life was 75 years. So, I mean, that's all opinion. But anyway, I mean, from a two side, from what's really relevant here is that all the problems that of age, of different engineering standards, when all of these old roads were built, the engineering standards have been upgraded, so have been all of the engineering standards on the water systems. And so the newer neighborhoods just have less problems. And the older neighborhoods have things that we weren't smart enough. I mean, like a lot of people have always complained about the Stone Avenue underpass and the fact that it flooded. I mean, it was state of the art when it was built. It was not state of the art when the current project switched the Stone Avenue underpass to a natural flow drainage. You know, I mean, these things change, and they relate to each other is all I'm really trying to say. But that said, I've said enough.
Jim, I have a question just to understand a little bit more about what you were saying with respect to Tucson Water. Mm-hmm. Are you saying that they really don't have a budget that is a capital long-term budget plan?
They do have a budget. It's not at the... it is not as... large as our budget is. And so they did not have funding identified to replace the lines that are we will be potentially affecting. So yes, they do have a budget, they do have a capital program, and they have been working systematically to address areas where they've been having lots of leaks, and they're trying to move from the alleys to the streets. They've got a number of neighborhoods that they're doing, but it is not the amount of money needed to do all of the work that that we might like to have them do.
So is that going to inhibit what we're doing?
It's going to affect it. We're going to work with them to try to mitigate the negative effects of that, and it may affect the kind of treatment that we use on the roads.
Okay. And so, the last question, are they going to try to improve the budget capacity, or is that something?
That's our hope, but they're a utility, and they're self-funded, so an enterprise. So, you know, any additional revenues that they would be looking at would have to come from the water rate base, and you know, they just finished a water rate increase, and I don't think they're real anxious to do anything further with that. And it's a, you know, something that the mayor and council would have to vote on. You know, there may be grants and funding that would be available through the State Water Financing Authority, but that they'd have to still pay back.
Just to follow up on that, what you're talking about, the same kind of budget issues, the source to the is different. But in 1990, when I sat down with the assistant director about maintenance of roadways, there was virtually no maintenance money for roadways in 1990. And so the reality is, from 1990, the Department of Transportation has been trying to find more funding and more availability to be able to do these things. We still don't have really a comprehensive program to do with arterials. That was something that was being discussed in the RTA. The RTA has said they can't fund that, and they're still finding a kind of a comprehensive thing like we're trying to do here. This is the first comprehensive thing the city's done with neighborhood streets. Now, obviously, we're not there yet on collector streets, and we're not there yet on arterials. And so those are issues that are still out there to be dealt with. And I'm going to die before they're all done. And so will you.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that. I'm actually only 29.
So I feel like this is the kind of thing where, you know, the electeds are council members who we're representing. You know, if 5 years go by and they suddenly realize that this program, which was, you know, a real victory for the city to get this program, if they realize that it's not going to get finished because of these other bottlenecks, that would be bad. So I just want to, has the council had conversations? Are they aware of this potential, you know, collision that's going to be happening with the reality?
I call them budgeting cliffs.
Yeah.
Really, man.
I know that we've been having director level conversations between Tucson Water and Department of Transportation Mobility about this. I don't know that it has escalated to the council level yet, but I think really we need to present them a solution, not a problem. So I think that's what we're working on right now.
Okay. I'll add this to that. To a degree, yes. People were knowledgeable of that. That's why the words were very carefully chosen about what was promised. It was promised that we would touch every street, which gives the city and staff many options about how they touch every street. They very carefully avoided that we're going to go out there and rebuild every street in the city. This can't afford to do that, okay? But it can afford to get us up to date on maintenance. And so, you know, I mean, those words were fairly carefully selected in this process.
Go ahead.
I just have one last thing, I promise. But it was my understanding that we were going to kind of make this a recurring item so we would sort of stay abreast, because it seems to be a pretty important one for the success of this program. So did I understand that right? That, you know, even if it's just a 5-minute update, we're going to keep this going?
I would be happy to keep it.
Okay.
Yeah, if it is a relevant matter for this body to consider, I'm going to be bringing it back, and I'm going to be bringing it back regularly. So yes, okay. happy to make it a regular update if you'd like.
Right. Thank you.
I just have one question. I recognize that it's municipal oversight that provides guidance for all of these decisions. But at some point, does the state have any culpability or accountability in stepping in to help with these issues? Especially with, I mean, it's a primary infrastructure. I mean, water in a desert city is kind of an issue, huh?
I don't, they create finance, there is a financing authority that they've created. They would like to facilitate and enable. They also have a regulatory aspect, you know, when it comes to regulating water quality and the water companies. But in terms of direct participation, I've not seen it.
Oversight but no cash.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oversight, and we'll give you a loan.
Yeah.
But you got to pay it back.
Yeah. So, any other topics? I put my agenda away, and I'm not even finished.
Oh, it's complete streets update, and then
new date. Yep. So you're on top of it. You're going to do good. Okay.
All righty.
Complete streets update. Do you have something to add?
So, the coordinating council met in November for their last meeting of the year, the first in-person meeting, because we wanted to get into some design discussions. So we did some whole plots, took a look at some of the challenges we were looking and facing on building, which I think is a good case study, because as we start to look at kind of coordinating and rolling out some of these safety projects on some of these collector projects, we know we're going to have a couple of years of design and a couple tiers of complication to this project. So that's going to be part of our challenge, I think, going forward. So they're meeting in 2 days, virtual, at 5:30, kind of a kickoff meeting and reflecting on some of the Complete Streets philosophies, onboarding some new members is what we're focusing on. First quarter of the year, though, we really will be, our goal is to establish that 5-year safety plan, kind of like you guys have the 1-year plan and then the 3-year plan and then the rolling plans. We're going to take that to 5 years because we're tying the safety budget to the collector program. So that's going to be what we're going to be prioritizing for rolling in some of the safety funding. It's a great opportunity for the city. I think the collectors have long been neglected, not just from a pavement standpoint, but really from having curb, storm drain, lighting, safety improvements. So we don't want to miss this opportunity. As we touch on the asphalt, also go out there and make these other adjustments. I'll give you an example of what we've done on Bilby. Because we're doing that repaving, we're actually able now to get sidewalk on Bilby, because through the repaving, we can actually shift the roadway about 5 feet, which, given the tight right-of-way constraints, allows us to get sidewalk on both sides of the roadway, which would have been an impossibility without that coordinated paving work. So that's one of the examples that we're going to be looking at to kind of build on some of this paving. So on that list, that we're giving a little indigestion, we're going to be park. Columbus, I think are going to be some interesting challenges for us. But that's kind of what's happening with them. And I will say, I think you've made a lot of fans tonight. We've been out publicly for the new Drexel Bridge project for the last couple of months. And I swear to God, we've heard more comments about repaving Calle Santa Cruz than the new $30 million bridge that we're proposing. So having that on the list is going to make a lot of people very happy. But other than that, that's kind of where we're at. So kind of a quiet month for the coordinating council. But we'll be coming back with more projects.
Okay. Thank you, Patrick. Future meeting dates. We're basically on a quarter routine now.
I think that's reasonable. I don't have any pending or urgent action items at this point. So we'll be until we want to revisit the and start thinking about what would be in phase two. I don't have any action items that I can think of, unless there's some change that we need to ask on what ask your permission for on
okay.
or approval of. So quarterly updates seem like they're
quarterly reasonable. Updates, and you can get in touch with Leanne if we need to schedule something earlier.
Okay. So
if we're looking at a quarterly update, let's look at the April calendar. April 22nd, does that work for you, Leanne?
It does.
Okay. How does that work for the other committee?
It does.
Okay. So let's project it April 22nd.
We'll confirm if this room's available and if it needs to change, maybe in touch.
Okay. Very good.
Okay.
Yeah. Good luck, man. They're easy. Bill, everybody's easy to work with.
Thank you so much for your years of service. Seriously. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll be calling.
Don't hesitate to call. In fact, I'll give you my cell phone number.
All right, perfect.
You want to adjourn the meeting?
What? Yes, I do.
Can we adjourn the meeting?
Sorry about that.
Yes.
Side conversation. 520-241-6356. That's the only danger of calling your cell phone is you might find it on the golf course. Or the phone might go unanswered because it's in the golf cart and I'm on the green.
That's fine. As you are entitled, for sure.
I was going to ask you, when we sit out there, are we allowed to ask questions?
They try to make sure that
the conversation is for the committee members. You're welcome to address the board at the call of the audience. So at the very beginning, there you have something. I want to get it out. You have the opportunity to address the commission.
And then I noticed that there is no Ward 1.
Right now, Ward 1 representative, I believe, recently asked for resignation.
Yeah.
So if it was something that you felt passionate about, you could reach out to Ward 1 and see if you you could reach out to her or any of her council staff.
And then who do I reach out to if I live in a neighborhood where we don't have lighting, sidewalks, and
if your roads have never been paved, so you're not on the streets.
Like I've been there 35 years, I'm 13th and 11th. We don't have lighting, we don't have sidewalks, and I've never, it's never been paved.
I would have to take a look at my map. If you look at your name and phone number, I can call you back and tell you whether you're in the first place.
Absolutely. Luz, L-U-Z, Sandoval. And my phone number is 520-808-7742. And let me give you my address so you can look at it. It's 433 West Nevada.
So,
I only mention this because I've lived in other neighborhoods before. My children, I just recently moved back, but my children have been there all this time. But other neighborhoods, I've seen their roads, paved. I see that they have sidewalks. I see that they have lights. And whenever I do have, I'll call the city. They just said we can't have it. So,
what I can tell you is that.